Fiance, Anine, Boujou. Hello and welcome. This is Unreserved. I'm Rosanna Deerchild. This year, the East Coast Music Awards were held in gorgeous and very friendly St. John's, Newfoundland and Labrador. And your favorite cousin got to go and celebrate with them. The ECMAs included four Indigenous nominees this year: Diantha Edmonds, Dee Dee Austin, Summer Bennett, and Alan Sillaboy and the Thundermakers. Diantha's journey along the red carpet began when she challenged herself to get a little louder in the world.
This past 10 years, I actually made a choice to change my life and to go from being Miss Diantha, the music teacher, behind the scenes, and I love teaching. I'll always be a teacher. But I really wanted to do more. I felt like I needed to use my voice in a different way.
The power of truth shapes the music of Dee Dee Austin. Buried Truth, a song about residential school, brought the audience to their feet on national TV recently.
If you listen to the song, it's very blunt, it's very straight to the point. I don't beat around the bush, and it is actually real life experiences of what my great-grandmother experienced in residential school.
Alan Sillaboy says the music of Alan Sillaboy and the Thundermakers is returning traditional songs not heard in decades, like their ECMA-nominated The Whale Song.
We had a lady that was in her, I think, 80s, and she said she hadn't heard it since she was a little girl. Her father used to sing it. So that kind of thing, you know, means a lot to us.
And surrounded by music and her family's love and support, it was almost destined that Summer Bennett would someday dance on the red carpet.
They're big in music. You know, I grew up with three pianos, like one in every room, and like, they pushed me to be the best that I could possibly be, and I'm just so thankful for them.
It's lights, camera, action here at the ECMAs, and the excitement is buzzing. Nominees make their way through a gauntlet of interviews and photographs. Family and fans huddle together for smiles and selfies along the way. In her braids and beaded earrings, it's hard to miss Mi'kmaq pop singer Dee Dee Austin. Earlier this year, the 19-year-old singer and pianist from Abigwit First Nation in Prince Edward Island delivered an emotional performance on Canada's Got Talent that brought both audience and judges to tears. It got her the golden buzzer. Dee Dee is a staple in the East Coast music scene, and last year, she was one of the winners of CBC Music Searchlight.
I can't believe I'm in the New York first. I just saw you on TV! Dee Dee, welcome to Unreserved.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm so glad you're here. As I just said, I saw you on TV, and you blew my mind. Like, you blew me away. I was crying, and I was like, pass the tissues. What was that experience like, being on that stage and performing that beautiful song?
Honestly, my experience was incredible. It was so big to even comprehend. However, it was an honor just to have the opportunity to share the story of my people and my story, and to sing a song that honors the victims and the residential school survivors. It's a national platform. It's huge. And it's so surreal to have been standing on that stage.
Surreal. What did it feel like when Howie buzzed the golden buzzer?
Honestly, it was like I got this big wave of emotions that went through my whole body. Like, and I keep telling everyone, like, I think it might be my great-grandmother, because she was in the residential school, and I feel like that was just her being like, yeah, like, you did it. Like, you feel, like, so proud and hold so much pride, yeah. So.
Well, certainly everybody in that audience felt what you were feeling. Can you tell me a little bit more about the song? It's called The Buried Truth, and it's about your grandmother's residential school experience?
Yeah, so I wrote Buried Truth a few years ago now. Buried Truth is a song about the residential school. If you listen to the song, it's very blunt, it's very straight to the point. I don't beat around the bush, and it is actually real-life experiences of what my great-grandmother experienced in residential school.
My mother went to residential school, so I really felt it when you were saying those words.
Since buried truth has been revealed, now there's no way to conceal. What was done has been done, a time to reflect for everyone. Breaking the silence helps us heal the hurt and pain that is so real. For way too long we've hurt and bled, now is the time to look ahead.
What's your process when you're writing music, especially something so powerful?
Well, I definitely go into like an in-depth thought of like, how can I make my songs like the most hard-hitting that they can be? But usually I start with the music first, and then I build on top of that, because I find you have more like, I don't know, it's more freelance, I guess, and you can kind of let your mind open up and your creative palette open up, and you can kind of like vibe with the music a little bit better, and then you can figure out the lyrics and say, oh, well, this song sounds more happy, or this song sounds more sad, or it sounds like it's like a dance song. So you can kind of determine what your song is going to be written about if you start with the music first. Yeah.
And you also play the piano, right? And so how does that play into your process?
My piano is my primary instrument, so usually I start on the piano first, and I play around with chords like literally all day long. Every free time I have, I just play around on the piano, but usually I start with the piano. That's usually my primary instrument, and then I take it to my producer, and I'm like, hey, I have this great idea, and then he builds on top of it, and then we create a song.
Well, just like that simple. Hey, no problem. When did you start playing music? What is your musical history, I guess?
So I grew up in the church community, and I'm going to shout out Maxine Hibbets, the late Maxine Hibbets. She actually was an organist at my church when I was growing up, and she actually inspired me to play piano. And then when I was 13 years old, I wrote my first single, and then I released it at 14, and then I released my first album at 15, and so on and so on. And now I'm getting ready to release my next EP within like probably the next 90 days or so. So stay tuned.
Amazing. That is great. Who would you say were among your inspirations?
My inspirations musically are, I really only have one, and it's Pink. Yeah, I love Pink. I think she's so rock star. I think she is such an empowering woman. And she also is just all about like building a community within the music industry. And I really am a strong believer of that. When I first came into the music industry, I looked at it as a competition, and it's not a competition. And now my goal is to bridge divides and get everyone to come together as one and just be a community and be friends and just have fun and focus on the more art aspect of the industry and less on the competition.
Is that what you hope your music will do when you release those gifts into the world? How do you hope people receive it?
I hope that when people listen to my music, I hope that they listen to it and they are healed. But I also hope that they're able to take whatever song they listen to and they're able to shapeshift it into whatever aspect in their life they feel needed. Because I write all of my music are personal experiences, usually what I was put through, because it's my medicine, and concerts are my therapy. And so my goal is to just heal everybody and just bridge divides and build a community within the music industry.
And you're pretty young. You're only 19 years old, and you've really set this path for yourself, you know, quite strongly, quite beautifully. What's next for you?
So what's next for me? I'm going to be doing a couple more gigs around my hometown area. I'm going on tour again this year. I'm supposed to be going to Australia, which is super cool. And I'm kind of in album mode right now, just trying to get my album ready to go and ready to be born. I'm super excited, and yeah, that's pretty much it.
Well, give us a sneak peek. What is on going to be on this new album here?
So I have some pretty exciting co-writes. Two of them I'll mention, Dave Sampson and the one and only Kelly Loader.
Wow, amazing. Well, we look forward to that. Dee Dee, thank you so much for spending some time with me today.
Oh, thank you immensely. It was truly an honor.
Good luck.
Thank you.
We'll be cheering for you.
Ah!
Yee!
That is Dee Dee Austin. She was nominated for Indigenous Artist of the Year at this year's East Coast Music Awards. Here's Dee Dee Austin now with Somebody New.
You got it bad. I'm sorry, baby. You had your chance. Can't take it back. This red, red heart is kettle black. I'm over that, and I move on to someone I can trust. I found somebody new.
your baby, because I'm all into you.
That's Dee Dee Austin with her latest single, Somebody New. The East Coast Music Awards elevates and celebrates music makers from Atlantic Canada, both contemporary and traditional, and sometimes a little bit of everything. If you live on the East Coast, you might be familiar with the work of Alan Sillaboy. His vibrant art is inspired by the ancient petroglyphs that were carved in stone by his Mi'kmaq ancestors. So too is his music, a reflection of the sounds and stories of Mi'kma'ki. Alan Sillaboy and the Thundermakers is a rock and spoken word group that blends genres from rock, jazz, improvised, experimental, spoken word, and ambient orchestral music. Imagine, for example, a traditional Mi'kmaq wailing song accompanied by a full orchestra. Alan Sillaboy and the Thundermakers was nominated for 4 East Coast Music Awards this year. Their latest album is called Marks on the Ground. From that album, The Dream Canoe was up for Release of the Year and Fusion Release of the Year. Whale Hunting Song was nominated for Traditional Release of the Year. And the group was also nominated for Entertainer of the Year, which is a Fans' Choice Award. Alan, welcome to Unreserved.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
It's great to have you here.
It's great to be here.
Well, first of all, congratulations on your nominations. What does it mean to be recognized at an awards event like the ECMAs?
Well, we've been working towards this for a long time, and it's great to be nominated finally. So we know that we're getting the message out there. It's a milestone for the band, absolutely.
I described your music a little bit in the intro, but how would you describe it?
I'm primarily an artist. I'm a painter and multimedia artist. I do different kinds of films, animation, but we do music as well. So the music, it can be, spoken word can be done in, it's not a very set manner. We just kind of feel it and kind of do it. So it's not built like most music is. When you hear it, you may be different from the last time you heard it. Especially our band is pretty wide experience, as 8 members, and all of them can contribute in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. As a visual artist, you were inspired by the Mi'kmaq petroglyphs. When and how did that journey begin for you?
Well, it was quite a long time ago. It was actually in 1970, and I met an artist, Shirley Bear, was a Maliseet artist. She had an art program in the States, and she recruited me, and that's really how I started to be an artist. And she gave me painting lessons. After a while, we were painting, and she found a book of petroglyphs, and that's how it all started, because they were not known to me, but they were not known to our people in general as well. So that's what I've been doing for most of my life, is sort of bringing that petroglyph vocabulary back to our people.
And as someone who had not seen them before, what did you think when you first opened that book and saw those images?
Well, they're amazing, because they were meant for us. They were left for us. And that was a breakthrough. Because up to that point, I mean, you just learned to paint, and you're doing landscapes, and you're doing portraits, you're doing the usual thing. But that gave us a focus, that gave us a journey that we could start on. and that made all the difference in the world. So we are doing designs that were left for us, and we continue it.
Mm. What kinds of stories have the petroglyphs told you that you were able to commit to canvas and drums or whatever visual medium that you've chosen?
Well, there's all kinds of animals, of course, on there, animal motifs. But I like the people ones, especially the women petroglyphs. To me, are striking. They are to me my favorite one to do. But they are Mi'kmaq, and they are different from other tribes or neighboring tribes or cousins. Mi'kmaq have a design that tells you that is a Mi'kmaq symbol. So that's what I've been researching and trying to find. What makes it Mi'kmaq, you know, compared to others? And I've seen petroglyphs from other tribes that are our cousins, close cousins. And I can see which ones are Mi'kmaq.
Yeah. And what kind of research did you do? How did you find these kinds of these stories?
All through the years, you know, I've found allies that were doing the same sort of work, especially I had a friend at the, he was a Mi'kmaq working at the museum in Halifax, Roger Lewis, and he researched anything Mi'kmaq, actually. So he was one of my strong sources, but I had many others that helped me. And there's people that do clothing, you know, that are, and also porcupine quill work, all aspects of design and trying to find where they came from and, you know, who made them and what they're about.
Mm. When did that visual art start turning into story and then you started hearing the music in it?
When I do my art process, generally, I don't have a lot of roadmap. I just generally just start the journey and see what happens. And the music is exactly like that. So it's not structured like typical music or a typical band is. But I found collaborators that join me and are in the process. So it works. It works because I think of my members, the band members. They're so open to this. And I'm so happy to have who I have in my band.
Mm-hmm. Your music has been described as having a foot in the past, but also pushing towards a better future for Indigenous peoples everywhere. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, being Indigenous, being Mi'kmaq is not, you know, it has a lot of aspects to it. I mean, and we try to touch all of that. We touch that. We have a song about Mother's Warning, about the environment. And we do like the whale hunting song. That's an ancient song that we brought back, you know. So anything that we feel culturally that applies to us, and we're always looking, we're researching constantly, and we want to bring it back, and we want it to be in the light of day and be in the mainstream again. We had a lady that was in her, I think, 80s, and we did the whale hunting song first time for our community, and she said she hadn't heard it since she was a little girl. Her father used to sing it. So that kind of thing, you know, means a lot to us. We know we're bringing a message that needs to be heard.
Yeah. And beyond that, you know, wanting to put that message out there for people to hear and receive that gift, why is it important that you do it? Why is it important that Alan Sillaboy be the one to change these stories like the whale hunting song to and expose it to new audiences?
Well, I think it's just, you know, my process of rediscovering our and bringing back our culture, reclaiming it. And this is the audio part of that. Aaron Prosper is in our band, and he's the one that actually found this song for us and sang it. So I have those members that are strong, and Hubert Francis, again, you know, he's an elder in our band. It's the same age as I. We've been around since 1970, collaborating. So it's a very deep, deep band that can go in a lot of different directions.
Mm. Over the years, you've been with this band for 10 years, you said.
Yes.
You've performed at many musical festivals. What was the Indigenous presence like at these festivals when you first started out?
You know, there wasn't many. at the early on, especially 10 years ago, we did like the Stan Rogers Music Festival. That was the one of our first ones we ever did. But there wasn't many Native acts at the time. And it's grown since, and it's fantastic to be part of a, you know, renaissance. There's lots of Indigenous music, good, great music going out there. And we're just happy to be a part of it.
Speaking of that renaissance, what is it like now for Indigenous artists, particularly on the East Coast? Has the scene grown, or are they becoming part of the mainstream scene? What's happening, Alan?
We're getting out there. We just did a song that was part of the Joel Plaskett tribute album. You know, that's mainstream, and that's not you know, an Indigenous project per se. But that's a major step forward for us to be with those group of great artists.
Do you have like an Indigenous band or individual musician that you are, you know, looking out for, that we should look out for, maybe?
Hollow Crows are a brand new band from Fredericton, and Wolfcastle, I think, is helping them. And they're fantastic. We did a couple of gigs together, and you know, there's lots of Jeremy Dutcher, of course, and there's just great bands that are popping up everywhere. It's fantastic.
Yes, it is amazing the talent that's coming out music wise from, you know, the East Coast. We wanted to play one of your songs off the new album. You did talk a little bit about Mother Earth's Warning. Tell me a little bit about that song.
Well, Hubert Francis wrote that, and he's from New Brunswick, Ilsebucht, and he did it many years ago, and we've sort of always done it, but, you know, we did the song, and then finally, you know, we had an opportunity in this album. Everything was kind of just right, and then we launched this album, and we put it on YouTube, and it's just fantastic. We have a lot of hits on it, but it's a message that Hubert wanted. You know, he's been saying this for a long time. But now we're catching up to Hubert, and this message is important.
And what's the message that the song is delivering?
Mother Earth's Warning is telling us to take care of Mother Earth, because if we don't, we're going to pay for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And how can music help us confront difficult things, you know, like these changes in our world?
I think music, you know, is the messenger. It can give you the message, but you know, you're going to pay attention because you like the music, but then listen to the words, and his words are telling you, giving you information, something you should know, you need to know. And that's part of it. But the music and all together, that's why people, you know, identify with music, and that's why it's so moving for them.
Yeah. And what are the next steps for Alan Sailaboy and the Thundermakers?
Well, I have a art studio. We're expanding it, and it'll be our second year coming up in June. And so a lot of projects, the band lives there, and the drums are made there and are painted there. And so, yeah, there's a lot, lots of activity on the Millbrook First Nation.
Alan, thank you so much for spending time with me today.
It's been a pleasure. It really has. Thank you.
Alan Sailaboy is a Mi'kmaq artist, author, and musician from Millbrook First Nation, Nova Scotia. He's a member of Alan Sailaboy and the Thundermakers. Here's the group now with Mother Earth's Warning.
Hear the thunder in the distance, it comes. See the people with their children, see them run. We're destroying, feel the heat. Can't you feel the earth move? Need your feet. The Mother Earth telling us she's had enough. These are the signs we should be thinking. Survive. Earth higher, wind higher, wind higher.
signs we should be thinking of. Do we heed the warnings, or do we keep destroying? Are we gonna help our mother to survive? Do we heed the warnings, or do we keep destroying? Heartbeat of Mother Earth. And if we, the children, caretakers of our mother, keepers of the earth, wind, rain, and fire, don't listen to the pleas of our mother, the heartbeat may soon stop.
That's Mother Earth's Warning by Alan Sillaboy and the Thundermakers. You're listening to Unreserved on CBC Radio 1, Sirius XM, U.S. Public Radio, and Native Voice 1. I'm Rosanna Deerchild. Let's head back to St. John's and the ECMA's Thursday night gala. Next down the red carpet, carrying a shiny red purse, is Inuk classical singer Deantha Edmonds, along with her daughter, Annabelle. Earlier this year, Deantha won a Juno for Classical Composition of the Year, and here at the ECMAs, she's up for Indigenous Artist of the Year. Spoiler alert, she takes it home.
Dante, I'm Rosanna Deerchild, coming at you from St. John's, Newfoundland and Labrador. We are at the East Coast Music Awards. And I'm here with the one and only Deantha Edmonds, who is nominated for Indigenous Artist of the Year. Sweet!
Yay!
So exciting, so lovely to actually meet you in person.
I know, we've spoken a few times, but it's so good to see your face in real life.
Same, girl, IRL. Same. IRL, that's in real life for all the old people out there. That includes me, by the way.
Me too.
So how does it feel being nominated for an ECMA Indigenous Artist of the Year?
It feels really, really good. I'm just so thrilled to be a part of this because it's for a piece I wrote called Anmalukisa, which I actually just won the Juno for Classical Composition of the Year last month in Vancouver. So tonight is even more of a celebration because it's here at home in Newfoundland and Labrador, in St. John's, where I live. And I'm just so honored because as an Indigenous artist, as a classical singer and composer, it really means a great deal to know that I'm being heard, that my perspective is being... Sorry, I'm getting emotional. That my perspective is being shared, and it's really, really a wonderful thing.
You've been on fire, my goodness. What do you think the young Deantha would think about, you know, how far you've come and how much you've made this music genre grow?
She would love this purse, by the way.
Yes, it is amazing.
Hampton purse. She would be on top of the world, singing to the hills, just thrilled, because that's all I ever really wanted. It's all I wanted to do was sing and share who I am and lift up other people. And so this is just so exciting. Yeah. And speaking of little Deantha, I have my little Annabelle here, who's 14 years old, who is also a singer that you interviewed us a couple of years ago after Christmas in Labrador.
Yes, I remember.
So to experience performing with her, who's also a classical singer, and excuse me for bragging, but this time last week, we walked a red carpet here in St. John's where she was awarded the Junior Youth of the Year by the City of St. John's.
Wow.
So two red carpets in 1 week, pretty great.
Superstar family girl. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
How do you feel about being here tonight with your mom?
I love it. I love going to everything with my mom, and I'm so proud of her as always.
Who would you say your biggest musical influence has been?
Ooh, that is very, very difficult to answer because I listen to everything. I listen to all kinds of music, every genre, and it just depends on the mood I'm in. Lately, I've been really enjoying Reet, who did Levitating for the North of North, amazing show, and I've been listening to that just like on repeat. In fact, I asked her if she would share the lyrics with me so that I can learn how to sing along, because it's just so beautiful. It's so joyful.
That's amazing. I love Reet. She's just a beautiful singer.
I know.
Wow. How would you say that your musical style has evolved from that first, you know, nomination and that album to now?
Yeah, that first album was all sacred classical Moravian church music in Inuktitut, from, of course, Nunatsiavut's incredible music history. And the next one, my EP, was included the Nunatsiavut anthem, like a classical arrangement of it. This is My Home, which is by an incredibly beautiful and adored folk singer-songwriter from Labrador, Harry Martin. And then my third album, Connections, was original. So I'm really challenging myself. This past 10 years, I actually made a choice to change my life and to go from being Miss Deantha, the music teacher, behind the scenes, and I love teaching. I'll always be a teacher. But I really wanted to do more. I felt like I needed to use my voice in a different way. And I know that becoming a mother had something to do with that, to kind of be a bit louder in the world. And so I've really pushed myself, and it's not always easy, but it feels right, and it feels really good.
And as you continue going out in the world, representing Inuit in this way, and letting everybody hear your beautiful music, what do you hope they take away from that?
I hope that they open themselves up to the truth, which can be beautiful and also very painful. We need to acknowledge the dark along with the light. We have to connect with one another, especially in this day and age where everything is digital and virtual and blah, blah, blah. I mean, we have to be able to connect with our own spirits and with each other, because that's how we learn and that's how we grow. That's how we're going to make change. And when we connect, that changes the vibrations in the space that we're in, right? Especially through music, through singing. That's what I really think about whenever I perform, is that those vibrations are reaching out and hopefully reverberating.
Thank you so much for your time today and sharing a little bit of your love and your space.
That's Deantha Edmonds, Canada's first Inuk professional classical singer. This year was her fourth nomination for Indigenous Artist of the Year at the ECMAs and her first time winning. Congratulations. Here's Deantha Edmonds with Unmiluki Sa.
generosity. Remember how life circles. On my rookie song, it goes on look to negotiate a neck. It goes on look to
That's Deantha Edmonds with her Juno Award-winning composition, Ang Muluki Sa. Deantha is this year's East Coast Music Awards Indigenous Artist of the Year. This is Unreserved on CBC Radio 1, Sirius XM, U.S. Public Radio, and Native Voice 1. I'm Rosanna Deerchild. In my red dancing shoes, on the red carpet. Speaking of dancing, here comes the winner of the Dance Release of the Year.
The East Coast Music Awards are in St. John's, Newfoundland and Labrador this year. And I'm here on the red carpet with some of the biggest talents this side of Turtle Island. Joining me now is Summer Bennett at just 17 years old. This is Summer's third nomination at the ECMAs. And this year, two noms for 2025 Dance Release of the Year and Indigenous Artist of the Year. Congratulations and welcome.
Thank you so, so much.
Now, as I just said, you're just 17 years old. Just a baby to this auntie. When did you decide that you wanted to make music your career?
Yeah, it almost feels like it wasn't a decision. It's like ever since I was 6 years old, I was just watching Justin Bieber online and all these pop artists. And it's like, it was just like I knew that that's just what I was going to do. And I've just been striving for it ever since. Yeah.
What is it about music that you love the most?
Everything. I mean, I was a dancer growing up. And so watching people, you know, incorporate dance and rhythm and music and melodies, I was just became so obsessed with it, and I still am to this day.
Yeah. How would you describe your music?
Very like Kate Bush, Fiona Apple, like, you know, different kind of pop. I really like experimenting with my sound, and yeah, that's kind of what I would say.
I love me some Kate Bush. That's from way back in my college days.
Yes.
Who inspires you most in your personal life to make music?
Personal life, definitely my family. I grew up, they're big in music. You know, I grew up with three pianos, like one in every room, and like just trad music all the time, but also modern music and rock, and just my whole family is really big on it, and they push me to be the best that I could possibly be, and I'm just so thankful for them.
And who are you here with tonight?
I'm here with my mom and my dad and my Nana and my brother and my boyfriend. And I got the whole crew.
That's very Indigenous of you, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, it's the whole family. It's important, yep.
Speaking of being Indigenous, you, as a Mi'kmaq musician, what does it mean to be showcased in this way?
I mean, it's so important. My family is what makes me, my culture, and music also makes me. And, like, having that be its own recognition is so important. You know, it makes me who I am, and that's, you know, music's who I am, and it's just, it just goes hand in hand. And I never got to meet my grandfather, and so it almost makes me really connected to him and that side of my family. So I'm just so thankful for it.
What do you want people to learn and feel as you go out in the world and share your music with them?
Everything. I mean, music is about emotions. It's supposed to give you any sort of feeling, and I want to convey every emotion, every color of the rainbow. I want it all. Yeah.
Are you planning on incorporating some of more of your Mi'kmaq heritage in future projects?
100%. I mean, I love to go to shows, listen to music, go to powwows. I'm a big dancer, so doing those are so important. And everything you listen to and your eyes look at, it always incorporates in my music somehow. Everything. And I want to do it with so much pride. And it's just so important to me to really, you know, take it all in and really use that into my, you know, modern music.
What advice would you give to, you know, maybe another young Indigenous artist out there who's dreaming, you know, of being where you are and doing what you're doing?
Don't be afraid. Never give up. And, you know, embrace yourself with everything you have. And, yeah, just do it. Don't be afraid.
Thank you so much, Summer, for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And congratulations.
Thank you so much.
All the luck.
Thank you.
And you look beautiful.
Thanks.
Okay, that's the last thing I'm going to say.
Thank you.
That's Summer Bennett at the Thursday Night Gala at the East Coast Music Awards. She brought home the ECMA for Dance Release of the Year. So get your dancing shoes on. Here's Summer Bennett with Just a Phase.
It's just a phase. It's just a I'm
That is the dance release of the year at this year's East Coast Music Awards, Just a Phase by Summer Bennett. Summer is a member of the Halibut First Nation. We had a wonderful time in St. John's, Newfoundland and Labrador. Shout out of love to our producer, Amanda Gear, for showing us around all the best sights, driving up and down those hills, and all the anti-laughs. There is so much incredible music coming from the East Coast. Earlier in the show, we spoke with Alan Sillaboy from Alan Sillaboy and the Thundermakers. He says the Indigenous music scene in Atlantic Canada is on the rise. And one band to watch out for is the Hello Crows. The Hello Crows recently performed at CBC's East Coast Music Hour. At that concert, singer-songwriter Dylan Ward told the audience about the origins of the song Come Back to Me. He wrote it shortly after listening to Duncan McHugh's CBC podcast, Cooper Island. That podcast told the story of four students at one of Canada's most notorious residential schools.
To hear the details through this amazing, horrifying podcast was pretty moving. And I was mostly mad at the idea that what the government at that time, what they planned to do was to take the Indian out of the child, right? Like that's kind of was the goal. And made to action through institutions like the church. And I was mostly angry because I feel like in a lot of ways it really worked, you know? I'm a Mi'kmaq and I don't really know my language very well, right? My mom, she was, she could understand it. My grandmother, she was a fluent speaker. And I grew up in a community, not Wataneg, and like at one point everybody would have known our language, right? And it just, I put all those feelings into this song, and the song is, I call it a bit of like a war cry, and it's called Come Back to Me, because in a lot of us, we want that language to come back to us, or for us to come back to it, and through things like this and being in this band, we're really, there's a lot of hope.
Dylan Ward is Mi'kmaq from Nunawahaneg First Nation, New Brunswick. Here he is with the Hello Crows and their debut single, Come Back to Me.
Yeah.
That is the Hello Crows with Come Back to Me. And that's all our time on Radio Indigenous. This episode was produced by Kim Kasher, Amanda Gear, Rhiannon Johnson, Elena Hudgens-Lyle, and Caitlin King. You can now listen to us streaming live on the CBC News app. Just go to the local tab and press play. You can also find and follow us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm your favorite cousin, Rosanna Deerchild, coming at you from St. John's, Newfoundland and Labrador. Ginanaskamit Nawal. Agusay.